Is female underrepresentation in scientific faculty a result of jumping ship or getting pushed off? In an April 6 Science Career Story, Beryl Leaf Benderly examines how cultural changes have altered women's status in clinical medicine, but not in academic settings. Benderly spoke with Denisha Adams of Science Careers about the story.
In your article, you discuss research by Stephen Cece and Wendy Williams. Can you tell me about their findings?
Yes. Well, Stephen Cece and Wendy Williams are co-directors of the Cornell University Institute for Women in Science, and they have been researching the progression of women in science and also what barriers or issues may be affecting the numbers of women who are pursuing careers in academic science. They published an article in the current issue of American Scientist in which they summarize a lot of their own and other people's research. And they state that the most significant issue in the women's underrepresentation is not discrimination, as was previously thought, but at the present time, actually is not only the desire to have children, but the fact of having children.
Is this a very controversial idea?
Of course, there are many people who are, as Stephen Cece said in the interview I had with them, wedded to the idea that discrimination is the main issue. He says that people who, of course, have held a view for a long time aren't happy about giving it up. And, of course, discrimination was very important in the past. A lot of effort went into overcoming the discrimination. And so they both say that, in fact, it is a very controversial view among many people. But they believe that the research definitely supports this view. A very interesting fact is that women who do not plan to have children, their career progression and career decision-making is apparently extremely close to men's. And in fact, they often progress more rapidly than men because departments are eager to hire women and promote women.
Cece calls for a type of culture change.
Yes.
What does he mean by this?
His research, and also research by other researchers, indicates that the biggest block to women is the conflict in the late 20s to 30s, which is the prime childbearing period for women. If women want to take off, say, a year or two or slow down or maybe take an adjunct or some kind of position that would be less stressful and then go back for tenure, what he and Williams have found is that that simply doesn't happen because the hiatus is considered an indication of lack of seriousness. Seems to me, and also they said to them, that if a person has children and then comes back and tries to get back on the tenure track, that actually is an indication of very great seriousness. But the traditional culture of academe, which of course was based around male needs and preferences, didn't take account for any hiatus. And so what they say would really help with the advancement of women in academic science would be a recognition that the fact that a person who's a good researcher has an excellent record up until the hiatus and tries to do something that will keep their hand in science during the hiatus, this person is a serious scientist and can be a good researcher again and should be considered for the tenure track position.
You have made the point that this is clearly an issue in the academic setting, but in your article, you suggest that medicine has made some changes that have worked for women. Can you talk about that?
In my article, I give the example of pediatrics, which is one of the specialties that is now predominantly female, and a very high percentage of the young physicians entering the pediatric residency are women. And I spoke with a pediatrician who's a man in his 70s who has been in pediatric private practice for 40 years, and he says that it's changed very drastically over the period of his career because it used to be when all pediatricians were male, they worked very long hours. They'd have to go out at night to see patients in their office or the hospital, take the calls and everything, visit the hospital every day. And the young women pediatricians coming out of residency simply refused to accept that, so that practices who want wanted to attract top people had to adapt. And how they adapted was by making the work hours much more predictable. They no longer meet the patients at night. There were now after-hours clinics that are specifically for the purpose of people who need care at night or else to the emergency room. They no longer care for their own hospitalized patients, but there are now hospital-based pediatricians who care for the patients who have to be admitted to the hospital. The interesting thing is that women, according to CC, have children at higher rates than in a number of other professions, including academics, and they have more children because they have a lot more control over their careers and their schedules. And research also shows that taking a hiatus or going part-time for a while doesn't really hurt the career of a physician in private practice. Now, in academic medicine, that's a different story because old academic rules appear to be more prevalent. The kind of organization or the time constraints of medical practice have really changed markedly to meet the demands of female physicians in fields where women are very numerous.
So, this is still an issue in academic medicine and academic science. Are these problems keeping women from applying for tenure-track positions?
Now, a very interesting thing is that half of biomedical PhDs now are going to women. A third of PhDs in math are going to women. However, women who are qualified, they have their PhDs, they've done postdocs, but they apply for tenure-track jobs at research universities at a lower rate, substantially lower rate than comparable men, because many of them perceive that pursuing an academic career is going to be in conflict with other important life goals, namely having a family. Therefore, if universities want these women to apply for these positions, the positions have to be more attractive. That is to say, the women have to believe that they're going to succeed at the career and it's not going to prevent them from achieving a really important life goal for many people. Men do not have to make this decision, Williams and Cece kept saying over and over, because men with children actually advance in their careers more rapidly than men without children. Maybe they're more motivated to make sure they have a secure job, but the opposite is true for women. Women with children, on average, advance in their careers less rapidly than women without children.
Well, how can academic science start to reflect some of these practices that have been so successful in medicine?
All it would require is saying, oh, this person took off 2 years or whatever to have children, but look at all the wonderful work she's done. She has all these publications. She's worked with all these important scientists. She's obviously a really good scientist. She can get back up to speed as soon as she wants to. Therefore, we'll just ignore that. It would also, in fact, free men, because there are a number of men who wouldn't mind easing up when they have small children. Until that happens, Cece and Williams imply that women are not going to choose to apply for those positions.
Well, thank you, Burley Fenderly, for stopping through today to speak with us.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Burley Fenderly is a contributor to Science Careers magazine. You can read her article, What the Doctors Ordered, at sciencecareers.sciencemag.org.